Amen. May God do that to us. I don't know if you know what you just sang, but you sang a lot in what you said. Well, I'm thankful for another good night of sleep. I don't know if you are. Sometimes I wonder why our bodies are made the way they are, and we spend a third of our life laying horizontal unconscious, but the way God made us, I'm very thankful for rest and strength for another day. And I'm blessed to get to be here with you all. I have enjoyed some of you getting to sit with you over meals and some of you coming up and talking, and thank you for that. I remember what it was like. Sometimes the preacher's a little bit scary. He's just a person like you, okay? Come up and talk to him. And I'm glad that some of you have done that. Actually, many of you, so thank you. Keep doing that. I know I was given a different topic than a couple of comments I'm going to make right here, so please bear with me. I'm stepping out of my what I was given, but I think it'll be okay. Had a couple of you came up last night, and we were talking, and I've mentioned this before, so you've probably heard me say it if you've listened to me other places and times, as a few of you have commented you have. Two things that I think almost predict the future of a young person and how they relate to them. And I don't have the privilege of talking about them. Brother Mark has. Two things. One is authority, and the other is purity. Don't take those things lightly. I think you'll find many times those things are almost future predictors for young people. How do they relate to authority? And how are they walking in purity? And when you see victory and rightness and godliness and walking in the way they should in those things, they're extremely good signposts for your future. So I'm not touching on those things. Those things, though, are things that are very deep on my heart as for young people especially, all of us. But young people especially. So don't take those things lightly. That's not what I'm supposed to say. And not what I was asked to say. Amen. Thank you. So I'm going to move on. You know, I've shared this before too, but sometimes I share things like what I've been sharing as we look at the Word of God and seeing it precious and digging into it. But if they disregard some of these other things, and if you take just what I'm saying, it's not balanced at all. It's only one aspect. And I believe what I'm saying. I'm not trying to take away from what I'm saying, but I feel, what I'm saying is very imbalanced and is not the answer to all, so to speak. Many young people, old people alike, take some of the things I'm sharing, and they're earnest about them. But somehow it just doesn't last. We're not as spiritual as we think we are. We need each other. We need help. We need authority. And the way we live it out in purity, relationships between you, between the genders, our thoughts, our minds, our bodies, all of it is a huge predictor of our future. Okay, that's not my thing to say. So I'm going to move back to what I'm going to say. Open your booklets. Let's bow for prayer. Father, you know what I have to say this morning. Would you use it to bless these dear young people with many of them, most of them, open hearts, earnest hearts, searching, wanting to follow you, wanting to do what's right. Would you bless them here this morning? Use my words and your word especially. Use your word that we're seeking to lift up here. Help us, Lord. Help me. Help each of them as they listen. We love you, Father. We want to go the right way. We want to be faithful on planet Earth. We want to be what you want us to be. So help us. Amen. The power of what I'm going to say and what I want you to put in there, the power of biblical meditation. And I put biblical before that word. I come from, we're up in the New England states, and meditation is definitely a term that is used in a very ungodly context. There are even, quote, churches around who have, they're open. If you want to come with your meditation, yoga, that's fine. You can come do yoga at this church. Again, it's not a church, but that's what they're presenting it as. If you want to come and pray to God, you can do that through Jesus. If you want to do it various forms, that's fine. You know, just, and so meditation becomes a term that's actually a bad term. But I'd like to lift up this morning what I believe biblical meditation is, and it has to do with our topic this weekend on our pathway, our journey. Thank you, it didn't come. Our journey, your journey with the Word of God. As you see on your paper there, the world's meditation says, empty your mind. That's what the world's meditation says. Empty your mind and relax. And I don't know a whole lot. But look at this thing here on the side. I made it gray. You're allowed to put a big X across it if you want to, because this is not biblical meditation. But just as we're wanting to go into the Word and look at the principle of taking the Bible and pondering it and allowing it to transform me and change my life, I want to look at the opposite and make that very clear here this morning. This is not what we're talking about. The World Community for Christian Meditation in the United Kingdom offers this example, how to meditate. Do you see that little gray over here? This is, I know they call it a Christian organization. This is not Christian. This is not of God. This is not biblical. Choose a quiet place and time where you will not be disturbed and sit down. Next point, sit still and upright, comfortable and alert, with your back straight. Next one, close your eyes lightly. See, you're supposed to be calm here. Breathe calmly and regularly. Silently, interiorly, begin to say a single word. We recommend the prayer phrase, Maranatha. Recite it as four syllables of equal length, Maranatha. Listen to it as you say it, gently but continuously. Do not think or imagine anything, spiritual or otherwise. If thoughts and images come, these are distractions. At the time of meditation, keep returning to simply saying the word. That is not, capital N-O-T, biblical meditation. So when I use that word, please separate it completely from the world's concept when you say meditation. But I decided to go ahead and keep the word because it's here. And we'll see this word coming up in the Word of God many times. And I feel it is a forgotten powerhouse, a forgotten beautiful strength. And hopefully you'll see that as we go along here. Open to Matthew 12. We're going to flip through numerous scriptures. I want to make this a biblical case. And we'll also get practical. So flip with me to some of them. If you want to be writing instead of flipping, that's up to you, I guess. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. We're still looking at the world's meditation. Chapter 12, verse 43. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. So the world is encouraging, you know, empty your house, empty it out, don't think about anything. And that's what they're saying, you know, empty the house. Then he saith, the unclean spirit, I will return into my house from whence I came out, and when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Oh, here's an empty house. It's been emptying itself. So what am I going to do? Then he goeth and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. And I feel that's an excellent picture, as the world says, empty their mind, empty their thoughts. That is the opening the door for the devil, for an empty house and an empty mind for the devil to come in and take its place. That is not of God. It is the enemy's plan. So when we say meditation, again, it does not, capital N-O-T, mean empty your mind. Biblical meditation says fill your mind with the Word. The world's meditation says empty your mind. God's biblical meditation says fill your mind. Opposite. Fill your mind with the Word of God. And this opens the door for God. Do you see the two clear opposites? Empty your mind, the devil says, sure, I'll take it. Fill your mind with the Word of God, and it gives God tracks to run on. Flip to Psalms. We know David talks just in brief overview here a little bit. Psalms chapter 4. Psalms chapter 4, verse 4, stand in awe. And I'm going to jump to verses. If it's distracting, that's fine. You can listen. If you want to flip, leave that up to you. Verse 4, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Stand in awe. What is he standing in awe of? God. It's about him. Stand in awe and sin not. Jump to 39. Psalm 39, verse 3. My heart was hot within me while I was musing. What was he doing? He was musing. While I was musing, the fire burned within. Then spake I with my tongue. Do you know that's one thing I pray as I come and even before I come and stand here, God? Would you fill my mind? And as I muse on your word and as I meditate on your word, put that your fire burning in my heart. Then I speak with my tongue. But at the core here, we find a heart that is musing. While I was musing, the fire burned within. 119. We'll just keep going with me here. Verse 15 of Psalm 119, we're going to jump at a few verses here just to, again, look at this. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. David is saying, Lord, I will meditate in your precepts. What I find in your word, I will chew on and I will meditate on, and I will have respect unto what you say and unto your ways so that I know that they're true, and I will meditate on these things. Verse 23, princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Princes will speak against you. Important people will tell you things that are wrong. People will come. The world is pushing things upon you, and it is pushing things upon us as the people of God. And so there's the picture of the princes saying things against you. But David says, do you know what I'm going to chew on? Do you know what I'm going to think about? You know what I'm going to meditate on? It's the Word of God. And young people, this journey that I am encouraging you to embark upon, and I'm sure you've already embarked and began, but continue on. There is something solid here when stuff comes against you. Remember when Satan came against him and came with temptations, what did he do? He put the Word of God out there. Whether it's the devil, whether it's your own flesh self, your own things that come at you, or it's the world is throwing all these things at you, I will meditate in your statutes, Lord. And that is solid. In a world that goes up and down, in a world that throws stuff at us, with princes that throw things at us, it's solid. Verse 48, my hands also will I lift up. Did I mention to you something about using your body language sometimes? Lifting up your hands and walking and talking out loud, verse 48, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Lord, here I am, and I'm going to meditate in your statutes. Verse 78, let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. Let the proud be ashamed. They're dealing with me wrongly. People won't always deal with you rightly. For they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. 148, verse 148, still in the same psalm here. Mine eyes prevent the night watches that I might meditate in thy word. Mine eyes prevent, and prevent, I look that up in Strong's and I get the idea that there's actually with prevent, and I'm not sure why that word, but it has a sense of anticipation, waiting for something to come, hastening to meet. You'll go out and meet someone that's coming, and you go out and meet them because there's an excitement to see them. So here I am preventing the night watches. Do you prevent the night watches? The prevent in the sense, sometimes when I wake up in the middle of the night, I wish I'd just go back to sleep. I have a tendency at times to not sleep occasionally. My body kicks in and funny things seem to happen and I can't sleep. And my tendency is to say, oh, I want to sleep. I don't want to be whooped tomorrow. David says here, I look forward to those night watches. And I know some of that too. But I look forward to those night watches that I might meditate in thy word. David had a concept here that he knew there was power here. Life-changing power. We want to look at seven different points here today. And number one, the heart cry of meditation. Number one is the heart cry of meditation. There are two ways, as we begin looking at this principle, there are two ways to look at this. One of the ways we can look at this aspect of taking the Word of God and chewing on it and meditating on it. And it is a part of a journey of godly men and women that they take. And you can take two attitudes as I share this morning. Attitude number one is a have-to attitude. People look at this from the opposite sides. And one is a have-to. This one sees the vision and takes on the attitude, I have to make sure I do this just right, and I've got to make sure I do it this way. And it leads towards ritualism and just stilted uncomfortableness. All right, okay, I've got to do this, and I've got to do this. And the have-to attitude is not the beautiful cry that lifts to God with a heart that says, Lord, teach me. The other attitude is a get-to attitude. It's an excited about another vista, an avenue of getting to know and understand God and His Word and His ways. And depending on the attitude you come with makes a huge difference, maybe all the difference, in whether this is a beautiful, exciting journey or it's a plodding, difficult journey. Psalms 5:1, I'm going to try to go a little quicker here at the beginning. Psalms 5, 1 through 3. Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my meditation. What was David's heart, you think? Which was he, a have-to or a get-to? Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. David's heart cry was after God. In Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, I want my meditations on you and the cry coming out of my heart for you to take your stamp and say, acceptable. Acceptable. Let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. My meditation of him. In Psalm 104:34, my meditation of him shall be sweet. It's sweet. I remember when in the beginning of starting to understand this journey a little bit, the sweetness I felt that would come over my heart. We were traveling down the road as a family, and we lived in Idaho for a few years, and so we had many hours coming back to Pennsylvania. We would travel down to a church in Colorado, and so we spent a lot of hours on the road, and So we enjoyed it. We talked. We did things together, played games, read, whatever. But reading for me was difficult. Motion sickness. I had to deal with some of that. But I realized I could just stick my Bible over on the side. And so we're traveling along, and my mind, you know, okay, we have some time. And I can grab a verse without too much motion sickness, and I can begin to chew on it. Lord, what's that mean? And think about it. And I put forth some effort to direct my mind. And you know what it is? With a heart, with a get-to attitude, there's a sweetness that settles down over your soul. There is. And it's precious. God, your word, as I'm on my journey and I grab bits of your word and I begin to chew on it and I think about it and what does it mean to me and how does this apply and I begin to chew on it, there's a sense of sweetness that just settles over your heart. I'm sure some of you have experienced some of that. It's a beautiful opportunity in our journey. The sweetness. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Psalm 119, again, a couple of verses. Oh, how love I thy law. Do you love this law? Do you? I know we do to a certain extent. How much do we love it? It is my meditation all the day. I don't think I can say that. Yet, I'm learning. It's my meditation all the day. I have more understanding, verse 99 of Psalm 119, more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. He spends time in this. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:10 and also 13 through 14, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I want to know him. The Apostle Paul was not being forced. Paul, get up in the morning. You need to do your devotions. Paul, get up. I want to know him. There was an inner cry that rose out of him. And I realize it takes some discipline. It does. But you know what? Discipline keeps going. There will be times of tremendous sweetness, and you will also sense this cry coming out of your heart. God, I want to know you. I want to know your heart. I want to know what you think. I want to have your perspective. I like old men. And there's one dear old man, and I'm so thankful. Every now and then there's one that likes me, and that works out real good. And there's one dear old man, and it's okay to call him old. He calls himself old. He's, I better not say in case he listens to this. But he's not just in his 70s, and he's not in his lower 80s. But anyway, he called me a while back. Brother Mick, he said, has Jesus become a little bit sweeter to you? That was his question to me. He just loves God. Deeply, he loves the Word of God. Talked to him just the other night. We'll talk a little bit. He's not real interested in chit-chat real long. He said, brother, prayer request. And so that's very common. He shares his prayer request, a couple of things for me to pray for. And I said, okay, I have one for you. I said, I'm going to Ohio. And I shared about this a little bit. Will you pray for me? I'm thankful for old men that love this law. And the cry of his heart is as an old man, I want to know him. And it's still burning in there. Brethren, and he says this too, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Did he have a have to or a get to attitude? That is the heart cry of meditation. Number two, I want to look at two aspects of meditation. There are two different aspects as we think about meditating on God's word and learning to apply it to our life. And yeah, we'll get to that too, but meditation is a step between taking what is God's word and moving it to a life that lives it out. It is a step in that, and we'll look at that a little later. But two aspects of meditation. One is focused meditation, and the second one I'm going to call constant meditation. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15, as we think about a focused meditation. Excuse me. 1 Timothy. Does the word mean when it talks about meditation? And I'm breaking it down into two aspects. The one is focused meditation. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. Meditate upon these things. The Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy, meditate upon these things and give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear unto all. Timothy, I want you to take the truth. I want you to take the word of God. I want you to take the things that are of God, and I want you to, with effort, meditate in a focused way upon these things. And we use a focused period of time where we accomplish nothing else. And we are putting energy into filling our mind with the word of God, and we're chewing on it. That is what I'm calling focused meditation. In Psalm 119, just a verse there, and thinking about a focused way of meditation, Psalm 119, verse 48, says, my hands also will I lift up, I read this earlier, didn't I, unto thy commandments which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. David is saying, I will put energy and effort into meditating in your statutes. The second here is constant meditation, a mind that is stayed upon God, and it's you do accomplish other things, even in the busy times. This is a meditation that happens in the busy times, a constant meditation. Psalm chapter 1, many of us know that psalm by heart. In verse, let me just start here. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So here he is, he's walking in his life. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he take a half hour out of the day and meditate upon it. Is that what it says? In his law doth he meditate day and night. Okay, this is not a focused meditation. This is what I'm calling a constant meditation. In his law doth he meditate day and night. And do you know what he'll be like? He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. A tree that doesn't dry up. And a tree that has plenty of water to push out leaves and to push out branches and to push out fruit, planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. And his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Do you want to prosper? Here it is. Here it is. Constant meditation. Not the focused, and I'm not being negative on that, but the constant meditation. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But do you know what? The ungodly are not so. The ungodly don't understand this beauty of meditating on the law of the Lord day and night. The ungodly do not. And they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. All gone, dried up, worthless. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. The ones who don't understand constant meditation, the ungodly, shall not stand in the judgment before God, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. They just won't be there. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, the way of the ungodly shall perish. Joshua, I have a key to give to you, God says. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. Three times you find that here in Joshua chapter 1. And one key to this, Joshua, in verse 8, he says, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. that thou mayest observe. What's observe mean? What's observe mean? Obey. You're going to do it. Observe it. Just do what he says. Meditate day and night that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. It's simple. If who you want to be like is very often majorly who you become, and that one you want to be like is the one your mind goes to. And when you want to buy something, you think about that person and how they would do it. You don't always necessarily think about it, but it's an influence. What would that person buy? How would they do it? What would they wear? Where would they go? And that person that you're looking to influences. If we use this as our influence, and day and night, this is our influence, we'll become like him. We'll become like what he wants us to become like. There will be a sweetness that comes down over our hearts if we take what God told Joshua. Joshua, you'll walk in my way. You'll do what I want you to do, Joshua. You'll be conformed to my image, Joshua. Meditate day and night. And this is a go to Isaiah 26, just one more little verse on constant meditation. We looked at focused meditation briefly, constant meditation. One more here, Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. I was sharing with a couple of you young men last night a need that I have. I sometimes get a little tense inside when I sense whether it's a little friction or disagreement or something, and my insides just kind of, you know, and get a little tense. And then you can't communicate right, and you can't think right, and it just doesn't work. And a brother admonished me, and he's totally right. Mick, you need to learn, I don't remember his words, but that tenseness, that doesn't bring blessing to communication. Thou wilt keep him, Mickey, I'll keep you in perfect peace. Not tenseness. Whose mind, when your mind is stayed on me. Yeah. There's something about biblical meditation that will apply to your life. You heard what I just said about my issue. Whether it's an issue of purity in your mind, and you're wanting to keep it pure, and there's issues in your mind. Do you see a key here? Is there a key here? I'll keep you in perfect peace. I've been on the rooftops, young men, and my mind and feelings were struggling with something. And I was up on a rooftop. We were tearing off of a roof. We might have been tearing the whole building down, I think. And I was up there by myself, and I said, I told God, he knew I was wrestling with this. And so every time I was going to wrestle with it, and I'm sure some of you have done this, but just grab a verse. For me that day, it was a song. I don't remember which song it was. I decided, temptation come, my mind starts going the wrong way. I'm up there roofing all by myself. All to Jesus I surrender. Get these shingles off here. Direct your mind, Mickey, to him. He'll keep me in peace. He'll keep out wrong thoughts. He'll keep out evil, whose mind is stayed on thee. We'll look a little more at these two aspects and some practical things a little bit later. Let's just ponder a few examples. Number three, examples of meditation. People who have grabbed this concept, and we can see it. I'm not going to go to Adam as the first one here in Genesis chapter 3. You can see Adam, and this one here might be stretching it a little bit because it doesn't use the word meditation, but it says, God came to walk with Adam in the cool of the day. And do you know what he was doing with Adam? God and Adam were communicating. I don't know how it worked. I don't know what God looked like when he came walking. Was there audible voices back and forth? I don't know the answers to those, but what it was the heart of God, and it was God and Adam relating together. And that is one aspect of what a picture of what meditation is. That's an example. Adam, I'm coming in the cool of the day, and I want to walk with you. I want us to communicate. I want, and again, the word isn't there, meditation, but that's the picture. It's back and forth with truth and with God. And God comes that day, Adam, where are you? God wants to commune with you. He wants you to grasp this concept of meditation. God is a pursuing God. You know, I think it was A.W. Tozer who wrote the book, The Pursuit of God. Later he wrote another one. He said, this isn't balanced. And he wrote, God's Pursuit of Man. God is pursuing you. He wants you. Adam is a bit of an example there. Enoch, in Genesis 5, 22. Enoch walked with God. What did that look like? I don't know what that looked like either. Genesis 5, 22, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. I don't know why. I don't know what was happening. Why didn't God use Enoch and join him up with Noah, was it his grandson? That's what comes to my mind, or great-grandson. I don't remember on down the line. Why didn't he join them up, feed each other? I don't know. But God says, Enoch walked with God. Can you walk with God? Can I walk with God? I believe when they walked, there was back and forth. And that's what meditation is. We'll get to that a little further on. It's prayer and the Word of God, and it's going back and forth. And Enoch walked with God. We have Isaac. You know, when Rebekah came, Isaac in Genesis 24, 63, he was out meditating in the fields. And this is the Isaac that Brother Mark was referring to yesterday when he talked about under authority. That Isaac, who was under authority, he was out meditating in the field when Rebekah came. What was he meditating on? I don't know. But he was meditating in the field, and there was a godliness about Isaac's life. Joshua. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, we read that in Exodus also, Exodus 33, verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. Moses had entered into the tabernacle, and I love this little picture. Moses had entered into the tabernacle, and he was in there, and God and Moses were communing. You know who else was in there? Joshua. Joshua was also in there. And here he was, a little disciple, so to speak. And he's watching and he's listening as God and Moses talk. And Joshua, verse 11 of Exodus 33. Joshua, the one we read the verse about earlier, meditate on my law, Joshua. And Moses turned again into the camp. But his servant, Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. What's that mean? Here's Moses and God, and they're communing. And Joshua's right there beside him, I guess, or he was there. I don't know if he's beside, I guess, but he was there. And Moses says, okay, God, I got it. I'm going to go out. I'm going to lead the people. I'm going to do what needs to be done. But you know what Joshua did? He just stayed in there. Joshua, a young man. You're young here. I know, I'm still young, so I'm still seeking to practice this. But Joshua, a young man, just stayed in there a while. What do you think he did? What do you think he thought? What do you think he meditated on? He was a young man that he knew God said, Joshua, stay in my word, and there will be blessing. Deuteronomy, the kings, is another example. God told them, meditate and stay in my law. Deuteronomy 17, it's another beautiful little passage that's a blessing to meditate on. In Deuteronomy 17, verse 18, there's a few verses here that is given clear direction to the kings.
and the kings that would come and what and how they should relate to God's law. And it shall be that when he, the king, sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests and the Levites. Kings, you're supposed to, I know, Saul, King Saul, write a copy of the law. King David, write a copy of the law. Solomon, I want you to write a copy. How many of the kings do you think did it? I don't know that we have any record. If you come up with one, tell me. I'd like to know. I don't know that we have a record of how many of them did that. Have you ever tried to do it? My brother did. He started. Got himself a notebook, just three-ring binder, put some paper in it, and he started. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He started copying it, making his own personal copy. I'm not sure how far he got. He did lots and lots as far as amount of time. I didn't actually ever do that. But that's what the kings were supposed to do, write a copy. And when you write something, word, letter by letter, word by word, what's happening? You're meditating on the law of God. Kings, you're going to stand before the people of God, and I want you to write it down. I want there to be that saturation of your mind with the word, with my words. You're ruling the people. Here, kings, make this your meditation. We're going to keep going. Mary. Mary took all these things and pondered them in her heart. She saw what Jesus did, Luke 2, 19 and 51. And she watched what Jesus did. She watched what he said. She watched the way he lived, and she pondered them. What does ponder mean? Don't you think it means meditate? Chewing on things. What does this mean? What's going to happen here? What's going to be the outcome? And Mary did these things and pondered them. Let's look at Acts chapter 4, another example. In Acts chapter 4, we have another example of meditation. 4:23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Verse 25, I'm sorry. Who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine or meditate vain things? So here are evildoers, and evildoers also meditate. These are evildoers, and what they meditate is vain things. Things that are not grounded here. Things that might be their own imaginations. Young people, things you can think up and picture and come up with. Vain things. And that's what evildoers meditate on. This is the opposite, in a sense, example of the beauty of biblical meditation. Here's what evildoers do. They meditate on the wrong things. The Apostle Paul, Philippians 4:8, we looked at that briefly. Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:15. We have other examples. We're going to keep going here. Number four, meditation and our mind. Our mind is a doorway to the outworking of our life. And I want us to see this. If you go to, do you see the little illustration there below? It's a little illustration that I usually write up here on a board, but I'm going to let it go and keep going here as we just refer to it. Our mind is where a lot of meditation happens, and we think. And that meditation, if you see this little chart here, from our mind, it helps move concepts and principles down to our heart. Do you see that little arrow pointing down from the fellow's head down to his heart, where his heart would be? And meditation helps move things from your mind down to your heart. And if there's a continuation of the process, as that heart and the concepts in your concepts and your perspective on life and all of that changes, it can work out in proper application into shoe leather. And that's what that other arrow going on down is. Meditation helps move a thought to a deep heart burden or conviction, which then carries the power to become a changed life. And so this little illustration, if you just keep this in mind with this happy little fella here, and meditation helps take the mind, and we're churning on things, and what that does is affects our worldview, our concept, the way we feel about things. the way we actually see and perceive what is happening around us. And it conforms our perspective and who we are and our interests and our likes and our dislikes and our appreciations and things we don't appreciate, and forms our personality even to a certain extent. And it forms our, as we, what we chew on, what we think about, forms those inner heart concepts that then majorly affect the application of what life becomes. And we're not going to spend terribly long on this, but I think there's actually tremendous depth there. Proverbs 23, verse 7, for it says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. As you think, if you'll grab this powerhouse for on your journey of walking with God through the Bible, and you'll realize there's a powerhouse here. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As he thinketh in his mind, it begins to conform and change his heart, and it will work out in his life, and that is the way he is. If you've never seen, grasping for an illustration here, if you've never seen a hairdo like you want, you probably won't think it up and wish for it. If you've never seen a vehicle like what you want, if you've never seen it and it's never entered to your mind, it will probably never come out in reality. If you've never seen or thought of, it probably won't come out in life. And in as things enter our mind and we process and we chew on, it moves them from just a thought to inner perspectives and burdens and desires, whether they're profitable or not profitable, whether they're upbuilding or they're tearing down. And people can get into the concept of how pride can come in and really think I'm something, or the opposite comes in and really thinks I'm worth nothing. Either way, it's concepts that begin to form as we allow our mind to think on things. It moves them into heart perceptions that then ultimately come out in our life. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world. How do we not be conformed to this world? By the renewing of our mind, he says, conform to this world, but be ye transformed. So Romans 12:2 says, if you don't want to be conformed to this world, there's a way to not be conformed and to be transformed, and that's by the renewing of our mind. Do you see this picture again? It's allowing the thoughts and the meditations of our heart to form our life concepts and perspectives, which then come out in our life. Philippians 4:7-8 says, whatsoever things are, and he goes on, pure and just, and you know the list as it goes through, think on these things. People of God, there's a key here. What you do with your mind and what you chew on and what you think about and what you dream about that will then form your heart perspectives that will then come out in your life. And there are reasons for our actions. And they started way back as thoughts, ideas, processes began to take place in our mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Ephesians 4:22-24. Just going to keep going here. Colossians 3:1-2. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Set your mind. That word affection and mind is used back and forth alternately. You go look at that word and do a word study there, and you'll find affections, mind, is used back and forth. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. If you just love the things of the earth, do you know what you think about? I do. If you love the things of God, do you know what you think about? I do. God does. Meditation is one of the silent but powerful forces that forms us. In general, what we think on is what we see as important. What we think on and chew on is what we see as important. Our mind can only handle so much, so the unimportant is tossed out, and what is important to us is what we think on, and it forms who we are and who we become. Someone once said, tell me what you like to think about, and I'll tell you what you love. Tell me what you like to think about and bring into your mind and process, and I'll tell you what you love, and the outflow of your life will be obvious. Tell me what you think about, and I'll tell you your future, someone said. Want to know what your future is? What do you love? What do you think about? What are you churning on? You may not be what you think you are, but what you think you are. You heard that before? You may not be what you think you are, but what you think you are. There's a lot of truth in that. That's what God, I believe God, is saying. Number five, a fuller perspective through meditation. And I put the fuller perspective in quotes there. Do you see the little charts? The standard perspective in the square. The standard concept many times, and it's right, it's not wrong, is that when we pray, we speak to God. When we read the Bible, God speaks to us, and that's right. When we come before God and we pray, we're speaking to Him. And as we read the Word, God is speaking to us. But if you can, look at that, what I put a fuller perspective, where prayer becomes both ways and the Word of God becomes both ways. What do I mean by that? Meditation can help us to move from a form to a living relationship that is a two-way relationship with God. It's a key to help us, meditation is the key to help us move from that standard perspective and to get into some of that fuller perspective. I find it, and I know I've mentioned this before, but I find it a blessing as I come before God, whether it's the mornings or when I have time, to open the Bible. Someone once said, don't get on your knees without an open Bible in front of you, and that's too strong, that's not Bible. But when you get on your knees, have an open Bible in front of you, where you're reading or wherever you're at. And sometimes as you're praying, sometimes I'll use the Word of God at times, and if I'm praying for someone, we've had some blessed times as brothers, as we're seeking to intercede. I remember a time in Zanzibar, and we would get together every now and then for put our families in bed and get together as men and say, okay, God, it's hard. It feels like we're sowing seeds on concrete as we sought to sow seeds in Zanzibar. We get together and begin to pray, and we'd pray through people, pray through our work there, the people we knew, where we were at, the seeds we had sown. God, do something in the hearts and lives of these people we're seeking to minister to. And there were times, too, we would open the Word. And Psalms is an easy place to do it. You open the Word, and you begin to use the Word of God. Make haste, O God, deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. God, that's our prayer. Make haste to deliver us, Lord, and just picture us there in Zanzibar in the midst of a very dark island. And we're seeking to be little candles and to sow seeds of light to people around us. God, make haste. And so we begin to take the Word of God and make it a prayer. So not only is God speaking to us, we flip it around and we pray back to God. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. And Lord, would you make haste to help dear Hamis, who got on his knees. He knows the truth. He lived with us. This is Hamis, a friend we would have had in Zanzibar. I'm just trying to give you a picture. God, make haste to Hamis and deliver him. He got on his knees. He knew the truth. He lived with us. I think he actually believed the truth. He thought we were right in that sense of belief, not the real belief, not belief that brought salvation, but in the sense that he thought we were right. And even got on his knees one time to pray. Silence. He lifted his head up and he said, I can't. It's just too hard. God, would you make haste and deliver Hamis? And help him, Lord. And we're praying the scripture. Let them be ashamed and confounded that seek after my soul. God, the enemy's after us. Let him be ashamed and confounded. The enemy's after Hamis. Let him be ashamed and confounded, Lord. And so the word also becomes a prayer. You know what I'm saying? And so it becomes a two-way street. And in our prayer, we're meditating and we're taking the Word of God and we're meditating on this. And I've found sometimes a thought will come. Mick, send Hamis this message
just saying this. It just comes to my mind. Is it of me? Is it of God? You know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to trust God is working. Or the thought would come, we had different Bible studies, Bible courses that we would use. Why don't you ask so-and-so if they'd be interested in reading through this booklet? And God speaks, and we speak. And the Word speaks, and we use the Word to speak. And what we're doing is we're using the Word of God, and we're meditating on it in our relationship with God. I'm going to move on. Number 6, practical suggestions for constant meditation. As you want to take this Word of God and begin your, or continue your journey with the Word of God, begin your day. If you want to learn constant meditation all day long, begin your day with some focused meditation. That's a no-brainer, right? If you want to learn constant meditation, meditating on the law of the Lord day and night, begin with some focused meditation in the morning and take the Word of God and pray it and read it. I know some of you thought maybe yesterday was a little overwhelming. I know that word came out, and I'm sorry. I don't want it to be overwhelming. I want you to just, okay, so I shared 25 things. Grab one of them, run. That's fine. One, and run. And after a while, come back to your booklet and grab another one and run. So don't be overwhelmed with the 25 or whatever there were. Grab one. Here's, in a sense, another one. In your times with God, use the Word of God to meditate. Pray it. Think about it. Use focused meditation. Sometimes stick little index cards in your pocket with the verse. I'm sure some of you have done this, that you're memorizing. Or something to meditate, just so that you have something here or here. And you can just pull it out during the day. You're driving, or you have a chance at lunch, or even in the midst. You can stop word if you're at work. If you're a diligent worker, you can stop for 10 seconds, grab a verse, stick it in your pocket. And if you're a diligent worker, your boss won't mind. Okay? 10 seconds, and you grab that verse again, and you chew on it while you're swinging your hammer or while you're whatever you're doing. Lord, you said, and you grab your verse, and you read over it. What's that mean? What's that mean for my brother that I'm praying for, or my sister that I want to bless tomorrow? And you read it, and you meditate on it. Learn to bring your mind back. You've heard the illustration, right? The rubber band illustration. The one who has learned constant meditation and he loves to walk with God, the tendency is when his mind is free, it springs back to where it's stayed. And that, I think, is the picture of a man whose mind is stayed on God. When we have time, where does our mind go? Oh, it goes right back to where God wants it. To his word, to pure things, to beautiful things. That's what happens. But when we're carnal, we're attached to earth, and we stretch it up to God's things in the morning. Keep doing it. If you find you're that way, I understand those feelings. I sometimes stretch my mind up here, and I'll find it, boing, back down here to earth. Lord, take your mind, lift it to him again. That's constant meditation. I'm not fastened up here completely yet. I'm not. Sometimes it sticks up here, and sometimes it sticks down here. My rubber band, that's the way it is for me. But I'm pressing on, and I want to learn constant meditation to where my mind loves to spring back to the Word of God, to the things of God. I mentioned while traveling, you can put your Bible beside you when you're traveling to help constant meditation, or paste a card, those little index cards in your car, in your truck, and stick it there, and you can glance at it and grab some things as you travel. Choose a topic per day, or a need in your life, or a need in someone else's life, thankfulness, all these things. And then set your watch or your phone to beep every hour. And when it beeps just a time or two, you keep on working, but that beep is a reminder. Oh, yes, Lord, I'm praying for so-and-so today. Or, oh, yes, today I'm being thankful. Thank you, Lord, for... My phone just went off. One time, I believe it, Brother Denny gave us the challenge to sing... All to Jesus I surrender every hour of the day. So as I was working with my father, we decided, we're going to do that. It must have been Monday morning or something after the weekend. We're going to do this. And I realized we can't all just stop our work. But in our situation setting, we could do it. We stuck the papers in our pockets and we went to work. Beep, beep, beep. And we stopped and we sang through the whole song. stick it back in our pockets. We went back to work. It wasn't very long, and you know what? Beep, 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 beep. We sang the song again. We went back to work. Again, I realize you can't always do this, but the heart cry is, God, I want to turn my mind to you. I want to use your word and your concepts to form me and to saturate me with your concepts. Paste papers on your wall. There's different things. I'm sure we could open it up here and you would have many other ideas. Number 7, practical suggestions for focused meditation, but put energy into it. Put effort into it. Practical suggestions for focused meditation. Open the Word of God on your knees. Sometimes, I think I mentioned the other day too, I like to put it off to the side and pace. If my little closet's big enough to pace back and forth, and you grab, and say you're going through a chapter, and you grab a verse, and you say it, and you chew on it, God, what's that mean to me? What are you saying to me? And you go and you grab another point. Read it. Read it. Then read it again. Read it more than once. And say it even out loud. God, what is this saying? Ask the questions. What does this say? God, what are you saying here? What does this scripture say? What does this mean in my practical life? You ask yourself these questions. How does it apply to my life today? And you're asking these questions about a verse or a principle. What does it teach me about God? What does it teach me about mankind? How does it apply to me? And you're asking yourself these questions as you read down through. And I realize this is a meditative reading of the word. But in focused meditation, there's blessing. As you pray this prayer to God, you ask God what it means, and you also read it, and then keep reading. Sometimes you can emphasize each word or put your name in there, personalize it. Pray it to God. Apply it. God, what does this mean? And sometimes that takes time. Just like we did up here the other day. What does this mean? What's it say? What's it say? What's it mean? What's it mean to me? Lord, I'm reading this. But what does it actually mean to me today? How should it form me? It's a journey that doesn't, you won't get it all figured out today or tomorrow. You won't have a rubber band attached up at the things of God and in the Word of God and constantly springs back there tomorrow. It doesn't usually work that way. But it's a journey that I want to encourage you on. That there is power in this forming concept of where your mind is and meditating on the law of the Lord. As you go through your day this next, the upcoming week, I wish you would think about it a little bit. Where's my mind go? What do I like to think about? What do I like to chew on? What am I pondering? Sometimes if there's relationship issues, there's a tendency to go to that and how are we going to work this and how should I respond and what should that person do? And we're chewing on this. And I know we need to think about those things, but let's think about them with this as our guide. That's what meditation is. We have a struggle or a temptation that we're facing, and we want victory. And your mind goes to it sometimes, whether in the right way or in the wrong way. Use this to be your forming guide. You're under authority. You're seeking purity. You're wanting to know the will of God. Use this as your guide. And use the powerhouse of biblical meditation by filling your mind with the Word of God. I wanted you to have time to answer and ponder some of what I shared here with the questions there at the end. Young people, God bless you. I enjoyed being here with you. And if I can somehow help inspire you on your journey and the beauty and the power that you have at your fingertips with the Bible, I'll be blessed. God bless you all. Thankful that I got to be here with you. I'm in this journey with you. I'm just at the beginning yet. Probably most of us are probably at the beginning yet, but I'm learning. And I want you to learn. We I say we. I'm not very much older than you, okay? So I'm in this with you. We're a generation that's coming up, and the responsibility of carrying the torch on will soon be ours. Let's take this seriously as our journeys go forward with the Bible. Can we just pray? And then again, I will, if you could ponder, meditate, answer some of these questions. Father, thank you that you didn't leave us alone, but you gave us your word and you gave us your spirit to guide us and to lead us and to teach us truth. As we, you know, Lord, we didn't look at that aspect so much, but we know you'll be there. If we put our minds stayed upon you and we learn this nugget, I feel, Lord, a bit of a hidden nugget of biblical meditation that the devil is trying to ruin with the world's mess of meditation. Help us be faithful, Lord. We want to be faithful. Okay, amen. Chew on your questions there a little bit. I got done beforehand in time.